This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The farm economy in Wisconsin and across the U.S. has suffered under low commodity prices over the last 5 years. While prices have started to improve in recent months, the downturn continues to impact producers' current financial situation and their future. University of Wisconsin Extension staff are hoping to help farmers tackle these financial issues through a series of workshops being held across the state, including here in La Crosse County. Joining us to talk about the financial needs of farmers and how the downturn has impacted their mental health are Caitlin Lance, UW Extension Agriculture Educator for La Crosse County, and Darren Von Ruden, President of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and a dairy farmer from Westby. Caitlin, we'll start by having you describe a little bit about what the workshop will cover.
Yeah, of course. So it's a farm succession and estate planning workshop. I know sometimes when times are tough, but we still need to think forward to the future. And so some topics that we'll be talking about, we'll have guest speakers from around the county coming in to speak about tax implications around farm succession, business plans. The USDA Farm FSA will be Farm Service Agency will be talking about some of their loan programs and eligibility for those, as well as estate planning tools, wills versus trusts, and, you know, kind of making that decision. And then we'll also be talking about a SWOT analysis, which looks at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats within the farm business. And in the afternoon, after lunch, there'll be a Q&A with those resource speakers, and then farmers who attend will have an opportunity to meet one-on-one with those speakers in the afternoon to ask some more personal questions and get their answers that they have on those topics.
Yeah, Caitlin, you bring up an interesting point of how, thinking about estate planning, farm succession, that can, I imagine, really go on the back burner when, farms are dealing with current tough financial times. I mean, has that been the experience, what you've heard from farmers in our area?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of it, with the farm stress and the low commodity prices that we've had in the last 5 years, planning for the future, it's really hard to do that when you're just planning for the next day. And worrying about, is this next milk check going to be enough, to cover expenses? And, am I going to have to look for an alternative job outside of the farm to help make ends meet?
So who do you hope attends the workshop?
I'm hoping it's going to be, the owners of the farms, but also potential people who are going to be taking over the farms in the future. And just anybody who has a farm in general, because, even though the economic downturn has had a huge impact on a lot of our farms and a lot of them have gone out of business, but this might help them to at least start thinking about, well, where is my farm currently and can my successor take over? And then at the same time, the successor can kind of learn a little bit too about, well, what are some of those important pieces of paperwork that I need in order to take over the farm? And it's never too early to start thinking about, the future. Even if that farmer is still the manager 10 plus years from now, it's still important because, things can happen, death, disability, and dealing with those topics and trying to figure out who's taking over the farm next, if you don't have things in place, can be very difficult.
Why do you think Extension wanted to host this series of workshops across the state? As I mentioned, this is one of several being held on this topic.
Well, in the last few years, we've took a look at the needs of the farmers, and we've come together as a work group, as a farm team, and we're like, okay, so yes, there is a lot of financial stress, but we also want hope for the future, and so figuring out, well, is my farm viable is kind of one of those first important questions. And at this workshop, you can kind of start thinking about some of that, the answer to that question. And it's, we heard the need, even if farmers don't want to talk about farm finances all the time, this is a chance to really sit down in a safe space and work with local resources that they might not have a chance. And it better prepares them before they have to go to the attorney if they can talk to the attorney ahead of time.
Darren, how do you think the last few years of low prices have impacted the way farmers are thinking about their financial futures and really just kind of thinking about farm finances in general?
Well, it certainly has made it more difficult to look to the future. As was mentioned, just trying to make sure you've got things for the next day sometimes becomes a challenge. And so there's that thought process that, well, let's just see what happens in the next month and maybe we can talk about it then, versus let's start planning today and continue planning down the road here to make sure that the farm has a future. So it's in difficult times, it's always a harder discussion to have, but it's something that, as a business, you really need to continue to look at on a monthly or even a yearly basis on what the future of that operation looks like.
Darren, I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about how the last 5 or so years of low milk prices, but also other commodity prices, how that has impacted farms' financial situation.
Yeah, and it's really farming in general has had 5 years of low prices now, and more and more operations have went out of business. A lot of operations are getting away from their main source of income and probably either renting the land out or finding another job in town so that they can continue one of the other avenues that's on the farm. So dairy farmers are going into the beef production side once in a while. And just looking at different opportunities, what that's really done, it's made more land available for rent for larger operations. And, sometimes that's the way for the family to continue to have ownership of the farm, but not necessarily making or having their majority of their income coming from the farm.
Yeah, you started to touch on this, Darren, but I wondered if there have been different situations or situations have varied depending on, the kind of farm we're talking about, dairy versus maybe crops versus some more specialty markets like organic or, farms operating under like a CSA model.
Yeah, we've certainly seen, especially in the state of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan over the last 4 or 5 years, a real uptick in the number of CSA farms, the community-supported agriculture farms. There's really that connection between the consumer and farmer there that's made that a viable business, although in the last year or so, too, now, some of them have really started to struggle, probably just simply because of the numbers that are coming in, and your consumer base is only so large, so you have to really look at that and try to make sure that you've got a good operation going there. But, looking at, some of the commodity type farms, the smaller farms certainly have been able to maintain the ownership of the land the majority of the time because you can go to town and find a job that can, sustain the living, maybe not pay all the bills, but at least sustain the living of the family that's on that operation. But when you're looking at, larger farms, sometimes they go into the bankruptcy system and end up losing the whole operation. Or, if they're lucky enough to find a buyer for that operation, that farm continues to stay in production in that commodity that they're in. But, just looking at the overall aspect of agriculture right now, it's a real struggle financially to continue to keep those farms viable.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about the needs of farmers thinking about retirement and how the recent downturn in prices has impacted farms' futures. We're here with Darren von Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union and Caitlin Lance, UW Extension Agriculture Educator for La Crosse County. Caitlin, do we have a sense of how many farms have either gone out of business or maybe just made some of the financial changes that Darren was talking about, switching commodities or taking an off-farm job here in La Crosse County?
Well, here in La Crosse County, I can tell you we've probably lost about 50% of our dairies. Now, as Darren mentioned, some of our farms have switched to other different types of commodities. So some of those dairies have probably switched over to beef. I don't have an exact egg statistic in front of me, but I mean, there has definitely been significant changes to, what agriculture looks like here in La Crosse County and just around the state. As I mentioned before, talking about the future of farming, that can be a very difficult conversation. And, you know, we're seeing farms also diversifying, and I think Darren alluded to that. You know, they're switching from maybe just doing corn and soybeans, and we've seen an uptick in, you know, throughout the state of people getting invested in things like industrial hemp.
I wonder if diversification, if that, you know, does that make a farm maybe more resilient when thinking about, you know, farm succession, their farm future? Or I wonder if that also complicates thinking about a farm's future if they have many different kinds of, you know, commodities or production happening on that farm.
I think it's a little bit of both. So, I mean, it depends on the commodity that they're growing, and each farm is going to have a very unique situation, which is why it's important that they sit down as a farm family and meet, you know, monthly or annually or however they do their farm family meetings. And, you know, if they can't quite see, you know, where they're at with their farm viability, I think that's when they can reach out to specialists, like especially within Extension. Like, I'm a certified farm succession coordinator. And, you know, in the future here, you know, we have also other resources so they can reach out to their, you know, family attorneys and things like that and have them bring them in on the conversation. And so as they're looking at diversification, they can look to there's tools out there to decide, well, is this something that, you know, is really going to help make my farm viable, or is it just something that's just going to make more farm stress for me?
I wonder if this downturn and kind of the impacts of it, you know, has it looked different in, you know, counties surrounding La Crosse that maybe are more rural primarily? You know, have we seen those impacts, greater impacts of the downturn in, you know, more rural counties like Vernon or, you know, other surrounding La Crosse?
I mean, definitely. I think it's just, as, you know, Darren alluded earlier to, like, it's just kind of agriculture overall. I mean, we've had 5 years of downturn. And I mean, if you look at the USDA, they have ag statistics. And so if you look over the last 5 years, I mean, you'll definitely see a decrease in the number of farms we have. And a lot of that does come down to, well, we just don't have enough to live. And so at that point, it's just, you know, if you're kind of on that verge of questioning, well, is my farm viable or not, that's when you start having those farm family meetings and discussing it with your outside sources to help kind of help you to evaluate. And then, you know, there's also resources out there available to help, you know, such as Extension has different tools available. FSA also has different loan programs as well. You know, and talking with their FSA loan officer might be another resource for them to look to. But definitely, I think, an impact on, you know, not just La Crosse, but the surrounding counties, and probably looks a little bit more extreme just because of how rural they are.
Yeah, Darren, you are a dairy farmer from Westby. I wonder if you can talk about just how you've seen the last 5 years, low prices, maybe impact neighbors.
Yeah, you know, certainly looking at, you know, the neighborhood in Vernon County as a whole, you know, the number of farmers that have left the farm is certainly a concern. And, you know, looking at where they went, you know, a lot of them are finding jobs locally. You know, some are going all the way across, but some of the economic growth that we've seen in Vernon County with different types of business, not necessarily always ag-related, there's been those jobs a little bit closer to home and available to the farmer. But then, you know, just looking at how you continue to operate the farm and manage that job with responsibilities too, really draws, you know, a little bit more stress to the farmers that are trying to maintain their farmer livelihood, but being forced to work off the farm. And, you know, you're not seeing, I don't think we're seeing kind of the community investment that we used to as farmers. You used to have the meetings where, you know, 30, 40 farmers' friends would get together and talk about different issues that are going on. Nowadays, you know, if you get have a meeting, you might get half a dozen or a dozen people that show up to it. So, you know, really what some of this is doing to local communities is of great concern.
That's interesting. Is it just, you know, that kind of declining, I guess, participation, is that because we're seeing just fewer farmers, or is it because, you know, farmers are maybe taking this on more individually and less as a community?
Well, certainly because of fewer farmers, but then also because you're trying to balance your work life with what you can do within the farm community itself, and looking at timing, you know, when you're working an eight-hour job and then you have to go home and do 4 to 5 hours of same daily chores that need to be done on the farm, it doesn't allow you a lot of time to do those extra meetings and the extra things that used to be a common practice for most farmers.
I wonder what toll that can take on a farmer's mental health, having to take on so much, possibly two jobs, and especially when prices are low.
Yeah, you know, of course, things affect everybody differently, but there's a percentage of farmers that are really under a lot of stress, and especially on the mental health side right now, you're seeing more and more farmers that really need help. But the question is, with the pride that a lot of farmers have, do you want to go get that help? But then number two, most time there just simply isn't the finances to look at getting the professional help that they need. And, you know, there's some programs within the state of Wisconsin now through the Department of Agriculture that allow farmers to use a voucher program so they can go and get that help that they might need.
Yeah, Caitlin, you know, Darren talking about the voucher program through DACAP's Farm Center. You know, we've also seen a lot of lawmakers talking about farmers' mental health right now. I wonder what your perspective is on this issue. You know, what maybe programs or policy changes that have been made that have helped?
Well, as Darren mentioned, there is that voucher program through the Department of Agriculture. We also have a local program which is called Great Rivers 211. And actually this year is a lot of their focus is on farmers because, you know, as farmers, you know, become fewer and far in between, you know, Darren mentioned, you know, just with so much stress, they're just not, you know, meeting as much. And so it's just like where do they go to de-stress? And like Great River 211 is a resource that they can reach out to, you know, if they're, you know, having a hard time, you know, dealing with some of that stress. And, you know, Extension also has a website that we've been developing since last year surrounding farm stress. If people want to go to it, fyi.extension.wisc.edu/farmstress. And if they go to that, we have a whole bunch of different articles and resources about dealing with specifically stress on the farm and kind of breaking that cycle, to hopefully having that outlook of hope and into the future.
Caitlin, how are you talking to farmers maybe about mental health? You know, have those conversations kind of come up when you're talking to producers, and maybe what do they look like?
Well, a lot of time, I mean, I don't get straight out like, hey, I'm under stress. A lot of times we'll be talking about, you know, a specific problem they're seeing on the farm, and then it'll start coming out that they're having a lot more problems. And then that's when I can start directing them to resources such as like the voucher program from DACAP or from, you know, reaching out to Great Rivers 211. And then it's just like, well, you know, is this something too, like, you know, that if it's, you know, an immediate need, if they're really having, you know, those harder thoughts, is, you know, encouraging them, you know, to reach out to like the suicidal helpline. I haven't really had the conversation like that before, but I mean, you can definitely tell farmers are stressed. You know, I sent out a survey like 2 years ago, and a lot of the responses back were low commodity prices and weather, and they're like, if you can change those things, you know, the life would be great. But unfortunately, I can't change those things, but I can at least help, you know, with educating the farmers and you know, working with the farmers on how can we, you know, do good in a bad situation.
Darren, do you think, you mentioned that earlier, the stigma that sometimes can come with using some of these mental health resources. Do you feel like the conversation around mental health in the ag community has changed because of this downturn and everybody really feeling the crunch?
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, last time it was this bad was back in the 80s, and I was just a young man coming out of high school at that time, so you know, always had a brighter outlook on what's going to happen in the future. And with this current downturn now, there definitely has been a lot more conversations within the farm community on how to, you know, help the neighbors out, look at the signs, you know, or are you talking to your neighbors that, you know, are mentioning different things than they normally do? Are they, you know, looking more tired than normal, or are they just, you know, not even communicating with you as the neighbor or the friends anymore? You know, all signs that lead to, you know, depression and then, you know, possibility of suicide. And, you know, not all of us are trained in that. You know, there's a lot of us that don't even want to take a look at that stuff because it's just, you know, beyond what we can see. But, you know, just small signs once in a while can mean a big difference, and being aware of what's going on around you. You know, you might be able to help out a neighbor by just, you know, offering to go and help with the chores one day or something to allow them a few extra hours of daylight to, you know, maybe get that job done that they've been wanting to get done for a while and can't do that. But, you know, the bigger thing is just, you know, to recognize when something looks different with your neighbors and your friends.
Darren, the National Farmers Union and the American Farm Bureau have come together in the last year or so to create a mental health initiative for the ag community. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about kind of what that program looks like, if we've seen any impacts here in the state.
Yeah, so we're, you know, we're hopefully going to be getting that kicked off on a more national basis here this spring. The National Farmers Union has their national convention coming up the first week in March, and before the convention starts, we are going to be doing a few workshops for our mental health awareness campaign, which each state is going to try to get 2 to 3 people there that will be our state coordinators and leaders that can help educate fellow farmers on, you know, the signs and what to look for, and then also have, you know, those professionals that are available throughout the states on a faster basis. So, you know, right now there are networks out there, but sometimes you don't always have a connection to them. And what we're hoping to do with the agreement between the National Farmers Union and American Farm Bureau is to make those resources readily available so that when times are necessary to make that phone call, it can be done a lot faster than having to do a search or go through, you know, a system of or a series of calls trying to get a hold of, like, VACAP or other avenues that are there. To make that information readily available to all of the farming community is really the goal of what we want to see done.
You know, the Farmers Union and the Farm Bureau don't always agree on policy, and I just wonder maybe what this partnership says about the shared interests or the, you know, nonpartisan kind of approach to this issue.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things when it hits close to home, which we both organizations have members that have had family members that have committed suicide or, you know, had fatal accidents on the farm. And it always adds that stress level. And I think what both organizations have really recognized now is this is something that affects both of us and all farmers really in a dramatic way. And so we need to find a way to get on top of that. And, you know, through this partnership, is there other things that we can work on together to make the farming community more prosperous?
Caitlin, I wonder how poor mental health or, you know, stress from these low prices, you know, how does that impact farmers' ability to plan for the future? You know, we're talking about farm succession, and I wonder kind of how mental health plays into that conversation.
I mean, it has a really huge impact because we've mentioned earlier in this conversation that, you know, when you're stressed about even just doing daily tasks, it's hard to even just think past the next day. And so when, you know, eventually the future does happen and the farm does have to be, you know, passed on, well, and if you don't have a plan in place, well, then that just can cause extra stress on top of that. And that's why I think why we're doing, you know, these types of programming with this Cultivating Your Farm Futures is a chance to, you know, in as low stress of a possible situation, you know, to just kind of talk about some of those things that they should, you know, have, you know, in their back pocket as they're going through and, you know, they're meeting with, you know, everybody that's involved with the farm and, you know, going into the future. But, yeah, no, I mean, you can definitely tell, you know, when people are stressed at, you know, meetings because, you know, they just kind of shake their head or, you know, they just are showing those signs of depression, you know, they're lethargic, you know, especially if it's a farmer that I've seen several times and, you know, they're just not maybe as talkative as I know they have been in the past. And, you know, and Darren mentioned, you know, getting that training for resources and some of us extension educators have been trained in mental health first aid. And so it's noticing those things like, oh, hey, you know, this person doesn't seem to be doing so well. So sometimes it's just as simple as asking that question. How's it going today? You know, and sometimes that can just open up the conversation, and some of my phone calls end up that way too.
Caitlin Lance is Ag Educator for UW Extension in La Crosse County. She's here with us today to talk about how the recent economic downturn in agriculture has affected farmers' mental health and their plans for the future. She's joined by Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Coming up, we'll hear how recent international trade agreements could impact the financial situation of Wisconsin farms. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Wisconsin lost 10% of its registered dairy farms in 2019, an unsurprising loss after 5 years of low prices for milk and other commodities. And fluctuating trade relationships with countries like China, Canada, and Mexico have made the future of farm financials even harder to predict. Some ag experts worry the tough financial situation could impact producers' plans for passing on their operations or retiring. That's why the University of Wisconsin Extension is holding a series of farm succession workshops across the state, including here in La Crosse County. Joining us today are Caitlin Lance, UW Extension Agriculture Educator for La Crosse County, and Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and a dairy farmer from Westby. Darren, I wanted to get your take on how, you know, increased tariffs we've exchanged with trading partners like China, Mexico, and Canada, you know, those have also taken a demand taken a toll on demand for ag products. And so I wonder what your thoughts are now that we've, you know, seen some progress on new trade agreements with these countries. You know, what does that mean for Wisconsin farmers?
Well, you know, it's certainly to be seen yet in reality. You know, the agreements have been signed between especially China and the U.S. right now, that the agreement, the phase one of the agreement has been signed, and there's language in there that looks promising. But when you look at what happens with the markets shortly after those agreements were signed, it went the other way. You know, we would have thought, or as farmers, you're thinking new markets mean a better price. And in reality, prices on the markets dropped for a couple of days after the agreement was signed between President Trump and China. On the USMCA side, you know, there's a little bit more promise there. Just looking at the agreement in whole, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between the past NAFTA and the current USMCA. For agriculture, there's going to be a little bit more dairy going into Canada. Not really enough to make a difference on the overproduction problem that we are facing in the United States. So it'll certainly help, you know, in a very minor aspect, I guess. You know, it's not like they're going to solve all of our problems with what they're going to be taking in. So, you know, as a country, we still have to look at the type of production that we're at or the model that we were in and take a serious thought process in saying, you know, is this current structure really what's going to keep American agriculture alive and thriving?
You know, dairy was one of the issues that was kind of held up by President Trump as an example of the need for a new NAFTA agreement or a new agreement replacing NAFTA. And so it's really interesting that you feel the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA, that maybe doesn't necessarily make a lot of changes for dairy.
Yeah, you know, just looking at what the Canadian dairy industry looks like, I wish we could have a similar model of that, you know, maybe not necessarily the exact same thing, but similar, because they really look out for their farmers first in Canada and making sure that there's a profitable margin there for farmers to be successful, where here in the United States, the model is, you know, really the last man standing mentality, you know, the true capitalist society that we live in. You're running your neighbor out of business for your own fault, really, and then maybe even your own loss of the farm, because we don't have a pricing structure and a production mechanism in place to keep the organization or the farm viable. And so, you know, that's what I mentioned earlier, too. We need to take a serious look in this country at the structure of agriculture. And do we want to continue to have the mentality that we can be the cheapest producer around the world? And I think that's one of the issues that we're seeing with the China agreement, too, is that language in there is saying that, you know, China can really go and buy from any other country in the world if they can get it cheaper there. So does it help us to be in this race to the bottom mentality, or should we look at something that's going to keep the farming in the U.S. and in China more profitable for the farmers?
How has the kind of unpredictability of trade relationships in the last few years, you know, how has that impacted farmers' financial situation, in your opinion, Darren?
You know, it's impacted it greatly. You know, when you look at back in 2017, after the first tariffs were announced, corn and soybean prices dropped 15 to 22%, and when you look at the overall impact on just soybeans alone, that was just a little over $13.5 billion that left the soybean farming industry. You know, that didn't include what the dairy farmers lost, what the corn farmers lost, what wheat farmers lost. And so, you know, looking at the number of dollars that left agriculture within a couple months after that agreement or the tariffs went into effect, you know, weren't made up in any of the trade monies that were sent out from the federal government. And then you're also looking at, you know, that instability, farmers' decisions in the fall or the winter of the year. Do you want to stay with soybeans and corn, or did you want to look at, you know, maybe a small grain plus corn or a small grain plus soybeans? Not having a consistent market or a structure to look at for guidance really made it more difficult for farmers to look at what they want to do for their cropping system the next year.
We spent a lot of the first half talking about kind of the impacts, the ripple effects of the downturn over the last 5 years. And I wonder, Caitlin, you know, how this downturn has impacted farms that are supporting multiple generations.
Well, as I've mentioned earlier in the program, you know, it's a huge stressor. I mean, finances are always going to be a huge stress, whether you're a farmer or a consumer. And I feel like, you know, sometimes if they're figuring out that their farm's not viable and, you know, maybe their son or daughter wants to come back to the farm, it's maybe making that decision that they might have to either, you know, go out and purchase a different farm or possibly look at another alternative for a career path. And that can be a very difficult conversation to have, especially, you know, as we're trying to get more people into, you know, agriculture, younger people to take over, you know, some of these farms. You know, there's, I think, you know, definitely huge stress that comes with that, you know, having that conversation between family members. And, you know, there could be some of those generational differences, you know, how, you know, baby boomers grew up versus millennials. You know, there's definitely different generational traits that they have that might cause some sort of conflict. And that's where some of those family farm meetings can come in handy, especially if they call in outside resources to help mitigate some of that conflict so that way they can come to a successful resolution. And it really does come down to discussing with everybody who's involved with the farm, is our farm viable? And then once if you decide if that farm's viable, then moving on to that next step. But with the stress of the downturn, even bringing up that type of conversation can just add more stress to some people.
Yeah, do we feel like we have enough, you know, producers or potential producers in the next generation, people who are interested in getting into farming or pursuing a full-time career in farming, especially after, you know, kind of being able to see the worst of farming over the last few years?
I think it can be, you know, very individualistic, you know, dependent on farm to farm, you know, what those farm vision and goals are and what those, you know, younger generation, what their goals are. And, you know, as technology advances with agriculture, because, you know, agriculture is always looking for, you know, the next and greatest form of technology, you know, we might definitely be seeing a lot of, you know, younger members coming in, especially as that technology improves to manage the farm. But then what are they growing? You know, that's the big question. You know, what are they growing? What are they raising? You know, what do they see for the future of that farm? And, you know, that can have a huge impact on whether or not we'll have enough people. And I definitely agree. I think what Darren said is, you know, we really need to start thinking about, well, what does agriculture look like in the United States? And that's part of what this Cultivating Your Farm Futures is about, is, well, what does it look like for our farm? You know, where do we want to see our farm 10 years from now, 5 years from now? You know, even if the main person is still the owner, you know, things still might have to change. And with change comes stress, and then dealing with that stress.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about the needs of farmers thinking about retirement and how the recent downturn in prices has impacted farms' futures. We're here with Caitlin Lance, UW Extension Ag Educator for La Crosse County, and Darren Von Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren, I wonder what your perspective is on, you know, do we have enough people in the next generation interested in careers in farming?
I would say yes, we do, you know, but it all boils down to, you know, what the generation ahead is looking at. Do you want to allow the next generation the opportunity to make it a viable business, or, you know, with the financial stress that's out there, there's a good number of farmers that want to, you know, really stop their kids or the next generation from having to deal with the same struggles that we have been for multiple years now. And so, you know, might sell the whole operation out, or might sell, you know, in the dairy industry, for instance, that know a lot of farmers that sell the cattle, and then they sell all of the milking equipment too. So there's no opportunity for the next generation to take over that same type of farming practice. But then they might bring in, you know, beef cattle or hogs, or go to the cropping systems that have happened quite a bit in the state of Wisconsin. But There is a growing number of people that are interested in farming. It's just a matter of can we get them in the current economic situation.
Darren, your farm is an example of one that is supporting multiple generations. I know that your son, I believe, helps, you know, take on a lot of the dairy side. Can you talk a little bit about what has been like for your experience?
Yeah, so, you know, looking back at my past, too, back in 1989, 90, we had a downturn in milk prices, too, and it was a decision that I made with my parents. You know, they were approaching the age that I am now and didn't want to take on the extra work on the farm, so they found an off-farm job driving semi across the country for a couple of different companies over a 10-year span, and I had that extra income, but that allowed me to make my own decisions and you know, grow the business as I wanted to, or maintain where we're at. We've kind of maintained, and that's kind of the same decision that was made between Joanne and I and Brett 4 years ago, you know, do you want to take on the responsibility of the ownership? And he said yes, and so we're working with him right now to take that ownership over, and you know, we're there for the hard days, and we're there for the good days, and it's one of those things that, you know, every farmer is a little bit different. Some farmers want, when they want out, they want out and don't want to, you know, be a part of the decision-making process going forward. But to be there to give your children advice on different things that happen on a farm on a daily basis, you know, I felt that was something that I really wanted to do, but wanted him to be his own boss too. So, you know, we've got a very good working relationship within the generations here on our farm, and certainly I think the organic system that I moved to back in 2017 helped Brett to make that decision a little bit easier too, because there was some stability within the organic system at that time, and we've seen some unevenness a year and a half ago to this last spring, but now the market prices have come back up on the organic side, so financially he's sitting fairly well. And we also had the next generation got invited to the farm back in December with the birth of a granddaughter. So looking at, you know, the future for what his children looks at now, too, is on his mind on a daily basis.
What advice, Darren, would you give to farms that are really interested in looking at how they can pass their operations to the next generation?
Certainly communications is number one, you know, trying to have an openness to look at what the next generation might want to do. You know, if they're happy with the current farming situation where it's at, help in the process of transferring that. If they want to see, you know, maybe some additions, whether it's more animals on the farm or more acres to the farm, you know, if the older generation can help with that process, I think it makes it easier for the next generation to come in. But you know, I hear all too often that the parents aren't talking with the kids or vice versa, and so you don't really know what each other wants, and to have you know, an open communication, and sometimes that does take an outside source to come in and really listen to both sides and make some recommendations. You know, some families can do it within, you know, we were lucky enough to be able to do that, but there is advisors out there. You know, Caitlin is one of those as an agent, you know, to be able to point you in the right direction of an advisor or even a team of advisors sometimes, to talk about everything that needs to be done in the process of transferring.
Caitlin, you know, why do you think sometimes that conversation between generations on a farm, it can be difficult?
Well, I think it's because, you know, They have an idea of what, you know, their farm family values are, but sometimes it's just like they people make assumptions. They're like, okay, well then, you know, we've been doing it this way, so I'm assuming then the kids are probably going to keep doing it this way. Or they feel like, you know, they've had maybe some of those conversations in passing and nothing is really down in writing. And, you know, that's where that whole miscommunication piece can come in. And so, yeah, communication, as Darren mentioned, is huge. I think, you know, just having that open communication is so important. And just, you know, having, you know, sitting down even just, you know, as, you know, maybe not so much at the dinner table, but wherever you have your farm, you know, family meetings and figuring out, okay, so what do you see for the future? You know, what is it that you want to bring to the farm, you know, as you're talking to this younger generation coming in? And, you know, what does that look like to you? And then asking to, you know, the owner generation, well, what does retirement look like for them? You know, do they really want to be, like, completely off the farm, hands-free? Or do they still want to be able to help out on the farm, you know, some of those daily tasks? You know, are they going to be there to support, or are they just going to sign the paper off, paperwork off one day and being like, all right, it's yours, have fun, you know, and we're going off down to Florida, you know, or Hawaii or, you know, wherever. But, you know, it really does depend on that communication piece. And I think sometimes, you know, as humans, we make assumptions that like, oh, okay, I've already had somewhat of a conversation. And that stress piece can come kind of get in the way of communication as well. And so, as Darren mentioned, you know, just being open, you know, with your thoughts and feelings and, you know, it can get lost in the fray of things. And so just being open, I think, is the best option for that. And as he mentioned, turning towards a team of advisors if he can't quite get that communication across.
You know, Caitlin, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how, you know, how the ag industry will look different for the next generation of producers. I mean, you mentioned technology earlier and how, you know, farms continue to adapt to new technology available to them. You know, how do you think the kind of landscape of the ag industry is going to be looking different in the next 5-10 years?
Well, we've had, like I said, a big, huge increase in technology, and agriculture, I feel, has always been the forefront of, you know, technology, because, you know, we're very conscious of, you know, the earth and, you know, the soil, and because if you don't have good soil, you can't grow good crops. And then, you know, they're looking, you know, farmers have always sought out, you know, educational resources. You know, that's the whole idea of how Extension came to be, is, you know, farmers are looking for a way without having to go to a four-year college, you know, getting those educational needs that they want in order to help them, you know, solve problems and continue to become, you know, keep viable. And so, you know, one of those things, too, that we're doing is, you know, they're with technology, is, you know, looking at GPS, using drones, things like that. And so I think, you know, younger producers are more adaptable with change. Not saying, you know, those that are currently farming, they're also very adaptable to change. I mean, with a farmer, you have to be adaptable. I mean, the weather is never a very consistent thing. Just look at this past year. I mean, we had a very wet spring and a very wet fall. And so, you know, but I feel like, you know, as that technology changes, you know, we're going to have to be more adaptable with that, and maybe even using more social media tools and marketing that might even look very different in the future. You've mentioned that there's been an upcrop of CSAs and, you know, as these community-supported agriculture, you know, farms, you know, grow bigger too, you know, they're going to have to reach out to more and more people to continue to grow their market.
We've started to see milk prices improve in recent months, and, you know, markets are improving. Darren, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about where farms are at now as we start to come out of this downturn.
Well, you know, on the dairy side, things are looking positive. You know, we're seeing some high prices or higher prices right now that are giving farmers the ability to loosen the belt up one notch anyway. But looking at the debt load that was taken on over the past few years, the futures market is not looking like it's going to be long-term increased in price. So, you know, we really, really need to look at, like I mentioned earlier, the structure of agriculture and where we're at. Looking at the commodity crop side, with the weather that Caitlin mentioned, you know, there's still a lot of corn out in the fields yet. And with the snow and the weather we've had, that production or harvesting season might be coming to an end right now until the spring of the year when the snow disappears again. So, you know, those farmers that have corn out there yet, they've got that stress level of, you know, I don't have a crop to sell because it's still in the field. You know, is my banker or my creditor going to work with me to wait until that crop comes off the field and then also make credit available so that we can put a crop in the ground this spring when the weather finally does change. So, you know, the I would say, you know, on the dairy side, things are looking up. Probably not as bright as a lot of people would like to. On the crop side, there's still going to be those struggles because of low commodity prices, but also the weather the way it's been.
Darren, Do you think farmers will be willing to have those conversations about, you know, kind of what the ag industry looks like, what, you know, farming systems look like if prices improve? You know, I think we've heard more dairy farmers talking about things like supply management when prices were low. But, I mean, are farmers going to be willing to have those conversations if we return to more profitable times?
From what I'm hearing right now, yes. You know, talking to dairy farmers from around the country, you know, we're still saying we need to make this change to the structure, because the structure hasn't worked for 30 years when you look at the raw numbers of dairy farmer declines. You know, something needs to change. On the crop side, we're hearing that too. We need to find a program that's going to make sure that profitability is there for all types of farmers, whether it's the 50 cow dairy or it's the 5,000 cow dairy. We're all in this together, and we need to start looking at a structure that's going to allow more farmers to prosper rather than less.
Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and Caitlin Lance is UW Extension agriculture educator for La Crosse County. They joined us to talk about how producers are thinking about the financial future of their farms ahead of a workshop held by UW Extension on succession planning in La Crosse County and across the state. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our show is produced by senior news editor and producer John Davis. If you missed part of today's program, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to more information about the workshop. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.